Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. We are in our last day of marketing. There's always going to be stories that really aren't going to go anywhere. As I constantly tell you, that what's going on in the news has nothing to do with securing our liberties, has nothing to do with making our lives better and getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution. What you see in the news are shock and awe and all sorts of things that they try to pull you into so that you just sit there and vacillate or just stew and steep and try to make sure that you are not getting engaged and actually uniting, because that's really what it takes. We actually have to put all of our differences aside, whether that be racism, sexism, or even on the conservative pet peeves and so forth. The reason the framers were capable of the success in establishing this constitutional republic was because they were able to put aside their differences as well as their self-interests. They were equally divided. It is a natural phenomena that occurs all the time, that people are always finding some way to find division and or differences so that they create these divisions and divisive behaviors within society. It is the cause that has brought down all these good societies that you can read about. I mean, the empirical data is there. This is the oldest tool in the book that Satan uses all the time. And that's right, Satan uses division in getting people to all of a sudden get their feelings hurt, get offended because somebody said something. And they, you know, how can they understand what we're going through? They're not, you know, they're not our color, our sex, or it. Really, get over yourself. If you want to be a slave to the state, then that's okay. But I believe that the majority of America recognizes where we're going, and most of them just don't have this message. This is why we ask, and we plead, and we beg to help us grow this message, help us grow the show, help us grow the reach so that people can understand, you know, how they can become a part of the solution instead of continuing to be a part of the problem. If you're not, so the bottom line is, if you're not involved in the solution, you're really a part of the problem. So, because one of the things I always tell people regarding our local rag or regarding, you know, the local news or what have you, even the national news, the only reason they're relevant is because you allow yourself to be caught in by them. Oh, well, I got to know what's going on. Actually, you probably don't. We don't have that kind of time. We really need to focus on getting our elected officials at the local level to understand it's all about obtaining compliance. We need to get full compliance by the federal government. And when I say compliance, compliance to our Constitution. They're not complying. They're violating it. That's why, if you didn't know, if you haven't tuned in for a while, the only constitutional entity that has the authority by the Constitution to enforce federal law is the militia. The federal government does not have the authority to enforce their own laws. It's very clear in the Constitution. And as a matter of fact, the framers were very clear on this. They understood what would happen if you allow the centralized, all-seeking power government. If you gave them the ability to enforce their own laws, they would create more and more laws and and install a standing army to ensure you comply to their demands. Instead, we were given the militia to enforce these things. And because we are the mechanism of enforcing the Constitution, we've completely missed the boat because we're not demanding and enforcing the Constitution upon the general government. That was the whole design. That's the whole concept of self-government. But anyway, we're going to be doing some more marketing. There is some news out there that's worthy of my utilizing as leverage to say, what's it going to take, really? What is it going to take for people to actually start getting engaged? I've got some good news coming up too, but I got to tell you that this show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org. And this is the only show that provides academic evidence-based solutions, period. Okay, so if you want to know what's going on, because next week we're starting the ratification debates. If you want to know what else is coming up and when it's going to come up, if I can nail those things down, you'll find it on the Red State Talk Radio page. You really want to tune in and listen to these ratification debates as we start. I'll probably be starting with Massachusetts, and we'll probably be ending with New York. New York is probably one of the most voluminous ratification debates. I mean, obviously, there's more pages regarding what was said in New York than in contrast to Virginia and some of these others. Virginia was pretty big, too. I think it's like over 500 pages. But the reason New York was so big is because Hamilton liked to hear himself talk, and he liked to talk about theory, and he talked about crap that had nothing to do with the Constitution. And he was doing this, and I'm telling you, you're going to recognize this. If you go through the New York ratification debates, the reason Hamilton was just, obfuscating the issues at hand and really talking and discoursing the details of the Constitution, the reason he avoided it and got into theory and went down these, you know, big, huge conceptual tirades, if you want to call them that. The reason he did that is he was just stalling because he knew Virginia was going to ratify the Constitution. He knew that one of the most compelling reasons why Virginia would ratify the Constitution was because they had all the power. I mean, Washington was a compelling reason why Virginia wanted to have Washington as the first president of the United States. They also had Madison and Randolph and all, I mean, the who's who almost of, if you look at our first presidents, our first five presidents, Washington was from Virginia. Jefferson was from Virginia. Madison was from Virginia. Monroe was from Virginia, and so forth and so on. And so you can realize that there was, I don't want to say even mystique, there was just this political thought powerhouse. Even Mason was a part of the ratification debates. And the interesting thing about Mason, I'm just going to go down this rat hole real quick. Mason wanted to see the Constitution ratified, but he demanded that we have a Bill of Rights and that he wanted some amendments against the militia and so forth and so on, because the militia was so key to the federal enforcement and so forth. Mason wanted to ensure that the militia couldn't be dragged from one coast to the next and so forth. And the irony is, as much as he made these arguments, not one of them ever fell through, as far as there's no amendment taking the militia or downscaling the militia's role, responsibility, and power within the Constitution. There was never any reductions of these roles, responsibilities, and powers. And so if you understand why Mason was so concerned about the militia having all these responsibilities, and they weren't reduced. And today, there's nothing in the Constitution. There's been no amendment to reduce the militia's role. And look at the militia today. Where is the militia? Do we even have a militia? Yeah, it's the National. It is not the National Guard. Anyway, that's why you need to read the article on reclaimingtherepublic.org on the Constitutional Perspective page. That's where we put our current thought-provoking. These things are relevant right now. So that's why you want to go there and check it out. Anyway, let me just kind of move on. One more thing I wanted to, I'll just say plug. Want to make sure you start thinking about Constitution Day and how are you going to drive an impact to impress upon people, you know, hey, how about getting your militia together and then having your militia, you know, do a constitutional presentation on the importance of the militia in a self-governing people. Anyway, like I said, we're going to cover the ratification debates. I am going to throw in a basic on basic preparedness, just some great ideas for you, just in case you have a power outage or in case you have some kind of little event that makes it hard for you to either get out or function. You know, one of the things I learned in the Marine Corps from a major that I was working with at the time, when we were out in the field, the next thing I know, he's got his own pillow and he's got all these things. And he said, you know, misery comes easy enough. You don't have to necessarily make yourself miserable. All you've got to do is pack accordingly. Now, of course, he was utilizing his rank to be able to do that type of thing. But that really drove home the thought that we don't have to not get things to ease ourselves when we actually see ourselves or potentially, because you know you're going to have a power outage, you know you're going to have these little issues. How can you be better prepared so that you're not standing in line waiting for gas or something? So anyway, we'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue.
And so one of the things we want to cover, and as soon as I have the opportunity to do it, I'm going to have an interview with Keith Broders. He is the founder of the Constitution Club. Here is a guy that has been throwing elbows and punches and just fighting the fight of a good patriotic warrior and trying to get people to wake up and trying to educate people regarding the Constitution. I love, I cherish my conversations with Keith. He is a wealth of information. And so I'm really looking forward to having, you know, him on the show, as well as the way we discuss things. I think you need to hear, you know, these concepts of the Electoral College, the concepts of standards for politicians and so forth. And I mean, the guy's just got great ideas. And I mean, one of the things we've realized is he brings up issues that, you know, I've brought up or written in my book and vice versa. It's just like, and it's just like the conversation I had last night that I'm going to tell you about in just a minute. It just, every time I connect with people, it's almost like they're this patriotic brother, because it's like, or sister. It's like they've had the exact same thoughts. They've recognized the exact same problems. And when I talk to them and I tell them, well, this is what we got to do about that, they go, wow. I mean, yeah, absolutely. How come I didn't think of that? Or, you know, how come we're not doing that? Anyway, so it's like a real shot of adrenaline when you start making these types of connections. And I want you to understand something. You're not alone. If you recognize how bad things are, if you understand what the heck is going on, you're not alone. There are lots of people out there. And a lot of, it's interesting, when I talk to people, they feel like there's just so few patriots that understand and are willing to get involved. And I disagree. I think that there's, it's just like people going to church. People think that we've become a godless nation. There are still people going to church. We're not Sodom and Gomorrah, where you're Lot and you're all by yourself, and that, you know, you've got to, you know, leave and make sure you tell your wife not to turn around. We're not there. We actually have a lot of people. The problem is what I've been talking about, unifying. We have to unite. One of the things that I brought up, and I constantly bring this up, the Libertarians left the Republican Party for good reasons. But instead of leaving the Republican Party, they should have drove those reasons back into the party. But instead, they took a defeatist or a divisive approach and literally created their own party and became a divisive organization. Same thing with the Constitution Party. Same thing with all of these different groups. And what really, it doesn't infuriate me, but it just really frustrates me, is that the big tent of the Republican Party, the tent that's supposed to be standing on the Constitution and on individual liberty and individual sovereignty, has nothing but small tents within it, where you have all of these little groups making themselves feel better because they're all a part of, you know, the Women's Republicans and or the Young Republicans or the Black Liberty or Caucus or what have you. Really? What we need to do is set aside our differences, and we need to set aside our self-interest. One of the things that I can point to is organizations are losing their relevance, and they will lose their relevance unless they understand what they have to get in front of. It's all about changing our culture. There's a lot of time, but what happens when if we're successful and we can change our culture? Well, what happens? And all of a sudden, there's no more demand for Rush Limbaugh. There's no more demand for the John Birch Society. I say that's incorrect. I believe that there are, if you understand enlightenment, once you start heading up, that doesn't mean that you plateau at where you're up at. You keep seeking higher and higher and higher ground. How else can we improve? And I believe that those people who understand this will be able to continue to contribute. If you go to my Mobius Strip Press page, there are other books and other concepts, because even if we get the federal government, we get Republican Review, and we peel back all of these things, there will still be some very significant problems that the states will have to deal with. And so that's, as soon as we get this thing moving, that's exactly where I'm going. I'm shifting to the next battle in identifying how to solve the entitlement problem, how to solve this this division and separation between the natives of the different lands, such as the native Hawaiians, Alaskans. I mean, I don't know how many tribes there are up in Alaska or different groups of people. And it's the same thing with the Indians or Native Americans. What are we doing here? Because what we have done is, as far as I'm concerned, is we're perpetuating domestic abuse. Because what we should have done was we should have granted them. They should never have been isolated as autonomous people. Washington and Jefferson, they did not try to treat the Indians as autonomous entities. And as a matter of fact, what they did was they were encouraging them and bringing them in. The Cherokees, as I've said before, they were well integrated into society, so much so that they became so successful they were beating the pants off the whiteys or off the civilians that were living in the South. And they said, hey, you know, they were the first to actually have a printed paper in the South in their area. And so they were getting it. They were becoming competitive. And that was when, over time, you know, the competitiveness got so good. They were getting so good at beating their local competitors that the people complained to Andrew Jackson. And Andrew Jackson basically violated his oath of office. And as a matter of fact, I know there's a lot of people that are really, really, really steamed at all of these bad decisions and mistakes people have made. You know, we either get over it, or if not, if it's going to make you feel better, then dig these people up and burn them in effigy, and then let's move on. Whatever it takes to get you to move on, but it's not at the expense of our future anymore. This concept of reparations is not only unconstitutional, it's divisive and damaging. There were lots of people that died, and there's lots of things that have happened between now and then, and the water is continuing to run under that bridge. It is time to unite. It is time to unite on the concepts and principles, not of this demographic, not of, you know, this agenda, but on the principles and ideologies of individual liberty and individual sovereignty. Now, the one thing I need to point out is we have a listen line. If you are streaming, if you're listening via the airwaves to this show, you should also have our listen line. So if you're not in your car, you can't tune in. If you're not, you know, at your computer streaming, you can always dial in, where you can just basically put your phone on mute and just listen. And it's good audio quality. The listen line number is 605-562-4209. Okay. One of the other things I want to point out is we have Red State Coffee. Apparently, there's so much competition in coffee that I just found out that we're really lacking in sales. In other words, people that have said, yeah, I'm going to get Red State Coffee. This is going to be great. Definitely want to support you. And apparently, it's just the problem of getting around to it. People aren't getting around to it. So if you want to support what we're doing, one of the things you can do is you can purchase Red State Coffee. And as a matter of fact, give it to your progressive friends. If you want to give them, you know, take it out and don't give them the package, but have them come over and let them start drinking Red State Coffee. Who knows? It may actually have some magic in those beans that helps clear their mind of this concepts of subjugation and enslavement and surrendering our liberties to the state. Maybe Red State Coffee is the elixir that they need. Republic Review is the elixir, or the elixir that our entire republic needs. Anyway, we have other ways you can support us, but the most important way, and you can go on to reclaimingtherepublic.org to find out the, you know, direct support, direct help, what have you. But the most important way you can get involved and you can help become a part of the solution is you have to get involved in your local area. You at least need to know the names and network, who are the chairs and who is running in the Republican Party. And when I say running, I'm not talking about running for office. I'm talking about, you know, operating the Republican Party. One of the things you'll notice if you go get involved, you'll realize how small the organization is in contrast to the magnitude of the size of the geographical area. What I mean is you'll probably go in and you'll look in your county, because most Republican parties are broken down by counties, just like all the other parties, and they break down these parties by precincts. And you'll probably find that over half of the precincts in your county are unoccupied by precinct committee officers. Why? Well, if you have a small organization, it's easier to control. And that's why they've been able to successfully continue to move the agenda instead of actually cleaning house and getting right. And what I mean by getting right, getting their heads right, getting their focus on the Constitution. So get involved. This is the biggest impact you can actually make, because the party is wide open for people to actually come in and say, we need to focus on the Constitution. Who cares about these little myopic problems? We will be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
When I say who cares about those myopic issues, I'm going to fill in some blanks for you. Who cares about abortion? Who cares about health freedom? Who cares about illegal immigration? Who cares about the IRS? Who cares about Obamacare? Who cares about Common Core? Well, I'm sure many of you all say, I care about that. I care about that. Those are all symptoms of the real problem. They're not the problem. And when you put it into that context, then you can start understanding that every single one of those issues that I just mentioned has everything to do with the federal government complying to the Constitution. Those symptoms go away when you force the federal government into compliance. It's that simple, folks. And when you have that epiphany, you go, oh, wow. I've been wasting a lot of time, money, and resources on fighting this thing. And what you're really doing, because you're never going to win. How long has the anti-abortion group been functioning? It's just like wrestling with a pig. The pigs love it. They love that interaction and attention, especially if they're domesticated pigs. They like people because people feed them and, you know, they take care of them. They don't hate people. They love wrestling with you. But you'll never win. And if you do, it's a pig. And bottom line is, the little victory you get gets wiped away by the next ruling, by the next actual unconstitutional opinions of the court, because they have no jurisdiction. This has been a huge issue, and it's been a huge revelation with groups that actually start working on Republic Review. They realize that the states, we have the jurisdiction over all of these issues. The federal government has no jurisdiction. They have zero say. We do not have to use the federal court system when we are fighting issues, whether it be healthcare or what have you. It's like surrendering our sovereignty every time we walk into those halls. So let's stop it. It's just stupid. Anyway, I want to thank you for tuning in. I want to thank you for being the integral part of helping get this message out. And I'm hoping that you... you are active in helping grow this show, because there's no doubt in my mind that as people start to get, it's not uncommon when I actually start engaging with people, and the next thing you know, they go, how come this information is not going viral? Well, okay, maybe it's me. If you know, because you're sitting there observing and analyzing what and how my approaches and so forth, let me know how we can improve this. Let me know what I can say to help, you know, get right to the point. Maybe it's just I'm not concise enough, but you let me know how we can improve, because any organization, any entity, any person that is seeking improvement, you know that our commitment is to success. We're committed to success when we're seeking improvement, period. Anyway, we've got a lot of other things to come up, but what we want to do is we actually want to get through some of this marketing. But I do want to tell you this. We've landed and actually set up a forced beachhead. In other words, we're reinforced and we are on the ground in South Dakota. There's no doubt in my mind we will be moving forward, because South Dakotans are now getting it. And so there's people that are actually going to start moving the Republic Review into the different types of organizations in operating in South Dakota. So I'm hoping by the time summer gets there, we can actually kick off a rodeo, and because they do have their primaries coming up. And I think the primary is in June, but if you have an early primary, you need to start complaining, because early primaries rob you of the opportunity of properly vetting your candidates. There's nobody focused on the election until really the summertime. And if you look at all of these different primaries that actually happen before the summertime, you have to ask yourself, why? Because early primaries exponentially increase the ability of the incumbent to get reelected. Why? Because while you're out there fighting winter and, you know, cleaning up from the winter storms and shoveling snow and all those types of things, Christmas and overcome, it isn't until summertime when you actually, we're kind of on top of things. It's like, you know, late June, July timeframe when you can actually get away and actually devote a little bit of time going to rodeos, fairs, and those types of things. I know everybody's busy year round, but you're not as busy year round in the summertime as you are in the wintertime. And the fact is that the early primaries, you know, really are hitting you when you're way too busy to get involved. And that is the reality. Every state needs to start pushing back their primaries, so that your primary is happening in August. You don't need to vet between all these other different candidates of different parties. What you need to do is you need to have a long drilling session in going through, you know, who's fighting for your Republican seat. How constitutional are they? that should be the longest grueling battle, because whoever wins that seat, if it's a red county, whoever wins the Republican nomination, or I should say whoever wins out of the primary, that's who wins the general. Almost 100% of the time, that's how it works. So why is it that we're giving them the benefit of just laying back and not doing anything and not really having to worry? That's why you need to actually start demanding that your primaries get pushed back. Anyway, I'm not sure, and I've said this before, but I'm not sure if you're aware, but it's bubbled up. And I've told you that the ideological politics exists everywhere. It exists in government positions, nonpartisan positions, and so forth. And if you haven't heard, the Army Major Matthew Goldstein was denied last month by Lieutenant General Francis Bedout, I believe that's how you pronounce it, Bedout, and as the commander of the U.S. Army's Special Operations Command. He's denied reinstating him as special because he's retiring, and not reinstating his tabs or anything else, even though he has been pardoned fully by Trump. And you can't tell me that this is, well, I don't care who's Trump. Well, he's only the commander in chief. He's only the top dog in the military. And this goes down to the fact that there is huge politics in the military. It's one of the reasons why I tell people be very leery of military candidates, people that, you know, want to tout their veteran record. The only thing they should be touting is their commitment to the Constitution, because that's what they're supposed to be supporting. They're not supposed to be supporting some political agenda. Anyway, here's another interesting story if you haven't heard this, because Hungary is one of the first countries to actually wake up and go, you know what, we have a population problem. We're not reproducing enough. So Hungary is actually offering free in vitro fertilization to everybody that lives there, as far as the Hungarians, just so they can start boosting their population. There's a lot of things I like about what Hungary's been doing. And so the fact that they've called themselves a Christian nation, and they're actually coming out and basically trying to protect their cultural identity. It's not that they're trying to downtrodden anybody, but they want to make sure that what Hungary stood for all of these centuries, they don't lose that through this melting pot immigration process that is trying to turn them into an Islamic theology. Because that's what's ending up happening, and they're recognizing it. And so Hungary is one of the first that's actually reacting in what I think is the best reactions, period. And they're actually shutting down. They're not bringing in immigrants. And they're actually taking a stand against the EU, and I love that. They're talking about, at least they're standing up to the globalization elitists and so forth. Anyway, let me move on. G. Edward Griffin's Need to Know News, if you don't get it, you should. But basically, a branch of the UK's National Health Service announced a new policy under which it may withdraw treatment from patients who think they're racist or sexist. I want to just restate this. They're going to be denying services, health services, to people who they believe might be racist or sexist. This latest instance of government-enforced political correctness demonstrates the dangers of allowing government to provide health care. When the state pays for what the treatments that you're going to get, it has the power to deny that treatment if you fail to obey or comply to their demands. And so that's what's happening. They're using these things as weapons. Another one that J. Edward Griffin has brought up, is this is all about the American Legislative Exchange Council. I'm not sure if you heard about these guys, but supposedly they're touted as the big economic supporter for the conservative movement. I want you to understand something. ALEC, that's what their acronym, ALEC, A-L-E-C, ALEC is not a friend of the Constitution. There's a self-serving organization that is pushing for you to surrender your liberties, and we'll get into some of this stuff just after these two promos. So please stay tuned. We'll be right back on ALEC for you. Folks, Red State Talk Radio has brought back its monthly newsletter. I know everyone gets a lot of emails, but this is not a daily or weekly newsletter. It's a monthly newsletter. So you will not be overwhelmed with a plethora of emails from Red State Talk Radio. Come on, it's only once a month. I'll be contributing a constitutional perspective to one of the current issues to help everyone see an alternative perspective, or what I believe would be a framer's perspective regarding the issue, to help us maintain a constitutional paradigm. I will also provide information regarding a significant historical context to the time of year so that we can remember our history, so we will not be doomed to repeat the inevitable failings from forgetting our past and origins. Just go to Red State Talk Radio and sign up for the newsletter. This way you can get a focused view of what is going on in the Republic as well as what is going on at Red State Talk Radio. Thank you.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
Okay, so we were just talking about ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council. And supposedly, this is a nonprofit organization made up of, quote, conservative, close quote, state legislatures and corporate private sector partners. And they are planning, and this is what they do. They write legislation. There are all these different organizations, Soros and the network, these progressive planners and so forth. These guys are writing their own legislation to benefit the globalist agenda in taking away your privileges, your rights, your property, and everything else. Well, this organization is doing something very similar, but it's what they're doing is things that are self-serving. And so anyway, what they're doing is they're working in the private sector with these partners, and they're writing legislation that is beneficial to the member corporations. About 1,000 bills based on ALEC language are introduced each year, with 20% of them being enacted. Many of the members are big pharma companies. ALEC is a driving force behind the current drive for mandatory vaccine bills. So if you want to understand who's really driving some of these things are your legislatures actually supporting these types of bills, which are a source of enormous profits for the drug manufacturers. This is why you need to start replacing your state legislatures, not with this quote unquote conservative people, but with people that are demanding compliance to the Constitution, that we're not forcing you into buying health insurance, not forcing you into taking vaccines or taking medical treatments or what have you. Judicial Watch found millions of extra restraints on voter rolls. If you haven't heard this, we're changing topics here because I want to get through these things. Judicial Watch has found millions of extra registrants, not restraints, registrants on voter rolls in five states, including California, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Virginia, and Colorado, and sent 19 counties notice of violation letters advising them to comply with the law and clean voter rolls within 90 days or face a federal lawsuit. There are 378 counties nationwide that have an estimated 2.5 million more voter registrations than citizens eligible to vote. In other words, these counties where registrations exceed 100%. The fact that the register of voters in those counties have allowed these conditions to exist and are reluctant to correct the problem suggests they are complicit in the crime. And this goes back to, I'm telling you, the ideological wiring exists at the DMV, the register of voters, the county auditor. All of these positions are no longer nonpartisan. They are using these positions in political ways for their own advantage. J. Edward Griffin also reports that Trump signed an executive order allowing cities and states to opt out of resettling refugees in their communities. A total of 18 Republican governors out of 27 have betrayed citizens by placing the interest of non-citizens above them by requesting more refugee resettlement. And I know everybody's talking about this, but why is this? And as a matter of fact, even though Trump is throwing it out there that they can't enforce this, bottom line, Trump has to basically say, hold on, you can't just take more than somebody else. The federal government has this thing called the uniformity clause. They can't allow one state to be taxed more or to, you know, to increase what is perceived as a benefit or a tax. They have to ensure that everything is done equally. And so any of these states that are actually receiving or actually trying to up an increase above everybody else, they are not doing it via the uniformity clause. In other words, if Trump really wants to shut this down, he could easily just say, okay, well, you know, if this is how many the states want per capita, then we have to apply this to all the states equally, based on apportionment. So in other words, if South Dakota says, well, we want this many, and California says, well, we don't want that much, it doesn't matter. They have to do it uniformly. More importantly, that's only one aspect of the constitutional perspective. The other aspect of this is the fact that the federal government does not have the power, nor is it in the Constitution or pursuant to the Constitution, that the federal government can actually grant block grants of citizens to come in or migrate into the United States. The law is that one person at a time. They've created this statute, but that statute has never been, what's the best way of saying this? That statute has, it does not comply. It is not in pursuant to the Constitution, because block grants, refugees, whatever you want to call these, is not immigration. Immigration is done by a case by case when somebody says, I want to become a United States citizen. I want to move to the United States. Anyway, the immoral governors, and he's calling them out right here on this resettlement, is Doug Ducey of Arizona, Asa Hutchinson of Arkansas, Brad Little of Idaho, Eric Holcomb of Indiana, Kim Reynolds of Iowa, Larry Hogan of Maryland, Charlie Baker of Massachusetts, Mike Parsons of Missouri, Pete Ricketts of Nebraska, Chris Sununu of New Hampshire, and that is a royalty for that area. The Sununus have been in the political power base for a long time. Anyway, Doug Burgum of North Dakota, Mike DeWine of Ohio, Kevin Stitt, I think that's how you pronounce it, of Oklahoma, Christy Noem of South Dakota, Bill Lee of Tennessee, Gary Herbert of Utah, Phil Scott of Vermont and Jim Justice of West Virginia. So if you know these people, if you're in these states, and these are the states and your governors, you need to call them out and say, you need to start complying to the Constitution. Show me in the Constitution where we have anything that allows block grants of people to just be given access to citizenship. It has to be one case by one case. And we shouldn't be giving advantages to one group of people or another group of people. What we should be doing is, if we really want to help these people, make sure that they stay at home and help them resolve their issues by statehood. Yeah, there we go back to that concept. If America was using statehood, then why doesn't Syria, or why don't some of these countries, now again, They would have to put aside their religious convictions if they want to be true citizens. Anybody that understands Islam understands that they cannot swear allegiance because it's a religious violation. They cannot swear allegiance to the United States to obey its laws, and that the Constitution is the supreme law of the land. The Quran is their supreme law. So they can't have two masters. Bottom line, if you are a practicing member of Mohammedan, then you can't be a real American citizen where you are going to support the Constitution and defend it and sacrifice your life for it. I'm sorry. There is a conflict. And so anyway, statehood for the Islamic countries is problematic, but statehood for China, statehood for Taiwan, statehood for Estonia, Chile, some of these other places around the world that might have Venezuela. Have these folks vote to say, we want to become a territory of the United States. And then we want to be in the process of becoming a full state. There you go, friends. That's how we do it. That's how we resolve all of our trade. That's how we get rid of the UN. And that's how we get away from people just getting here and trying to destroy our culture because they haven't become aware of what our culture is first. The whole process of statehood is that transition of understanding our legal system, understanding liberty, understanding our currency, so forth and so on. That way, you know, it could take 30, 40 years. I mean, look at how some of the territories, Oklahoma took, I want to say Oklahoma as a territory, took 60, 70 years to become a state. So, you know, whatever it takes so that, these country and the people, the citizens of the country are there, then they can become, states. A state of the United States. And while they're in that territory, people getting born and so forth, they become citizens. But the fact of the matter is statehood is a much bigger solution than a lot of these other problems that we're facing, especially when it's dealing with international trade and those types of things. I don't believe that the United States has to be limited because of its physical boundaries, because Alaska and Hawaii, Guam, and some of these other territories already disprove that concept. Anyway, when we come back on Monday, we will be diving into the ratification debates, and we will work in our interview with Keith Broders whenever we can actually get those things done. But I'm G.R. Mobley. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic. Sorry about that. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. We need you to get involved. Make 2020 the year we do it. Thank you so much.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.